Welcome everyone to the Families for Life podcast. We are here with a special episode. In fact, we have three special episodes hosted with myself, Brian Gocher, and
Pastor Alan.
Pastor Alan Scott. We are here to talk about a few things over the next three episodes, and we thought that some special episodes of the Family for Life podcast would be very appropriate. I know we haven't put out a new episode in almost a year because things at life and things at church have been different over the last year. And we're going to talk about some of that as we go forward. But right. I think this is a good time to bring back the podcast and have a little bit of fun talking about this subject.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think this will be really helpful because, you know, over the next 3 weeks, well, as you hear this podcast, you will have heard the first week. Mm-hmm. But we're going to take 3 weeks to really consider our church family, what God is doing in it. And we have a lot of people that's been around our church family for many years. And we have some that have been here just for a few weeks. And God has done a great thing that we want to go back and touch base with to let everyone in our church know what God has done in our recent past, what he's doing currently, and what he's going to do in the future. So we're excited for it.
Yeah. The new theme that we have right now for the next 3 weeks is called Forward Together. Forward Together. You just introduced this on Sunday. So what is Forward Together all about?
Well, it's really about what I just mentioned. We, like most churches, we'll have people that have been there a long time and some for maybe a couple years or 6 months and some people just a few weeks. But we have, God has moved in our church. He's blessed us and he's done really great things. But we have a plan that's in place and we have a North and a South campus. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to take time to kind of bring us all together so we could go forward together to understand the plan that God's given us. We're in the middle of working that plan out just to keep everybody on the same page. And yeah. So hence Forward Together, considering what God's done in our church.
Yeah, bringing our whole church family kind of together. So they're all, everyone has this knowledge and we can go forward together. I like that.
Right. And these podcasts will help us to maybe give a little bit more information. It's mm-hmm. it's hard to communicate everything in a letter, or it's hard to communicate everything you would like to say in one sermon. Mm-hmm. And so if people want more details, they kind of know what was going on as mm-hmm. we process this, they can listen and find out.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think it's necessary that we're doing this now? Why this timing?
Well, because God has blessed us. There are more people coming now to mm-hmm. our church. We've almost approached back where we were in attendance pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. And so that's really good. And so there's just a lot of people that would be helped by understanding what God is doing in our mm-hmm. church. And we have been working on this plan that God's given us. We're yeah. getting ready to take another step in that. And so right now it seems like a strategic time to get mm-hmm. us on the same page to go forward together.
Yeah. So over the next 3 weeks, or this past Sunday, we talked about the past, and then next week, the present, and the following week, the future. The
future.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you're looking at past, present, and future. So let's talk about the past, since that's what this episode is all about. And in probably around 2018, we were starting to pray about and look for options. We had some issues, some good problems in our church. And take us back to 18 and talk about that. We weren't really necessarily looking for land. We were just kind of praying about what our next step was.
Yeah, we had persistent problems, good problems, that we talked about on Sunday. We had limited parking, mm-hmm. and we had really limited space that we could use, especially in the 9:30 hour, to have life groups going on and worship at the same time. Mm-hmm. And we have had this choke point of growth for some time.
Yeah. So if you don't know, if you go to 8 a.m. service, you may stay for a life group at 9:30,
right?
And then you may go to worship at 9:30, and there may be people at life groups at 9:30 and they go to worship at 11.
Right.
So 9:30 becomes the super hour where you have people from all three services there at one time.
That's right. And so in one sense, we like that because, you know, it mixes our people up no matter what service they're in. But just on the practical side of life, it makes parking difficult and it makes starting new classes, especially at the 9:30 hour, really almost impossible.
And we added parking several years ago. We tried to expand parking as much, but I think we have about 6 acres at our South Campus.
Yeah, well, actually we have about 7.5 acres right at it, I think. But it's all building. It's maxed. Mm-hmm. It's all building and parking.
Right.
And we can't put any more in. We're kind of maxed
parking
out.
Garage? Can we go that?
No. There's zoning issues with that. We've looked at every option, actually. So, no, we're not going to be able to put a parking garage in. So, those are the good problems that we had. So, we did start to pray. Maybe would God have other options for us? And about that time, there was a piece of property right up the road from us that looked like it may go on the market. It seemed like it would work. We started praying about that. We got approval from the church to make an offer, but that piece of property ultimately did not come on the market. And so we thought, well, okay, that wasn't it. We just kept praying. And so that was in 2018. Then around in 2019, there was another piece of property that came up for possible sale, and that's what we now know as North Campus.
Yeah, in November of 2019, we voted to approve the purchase of 12 acres from Olivet Community Church. And that's right up the road on St. Right. George, and it has the, you know, we call it the Praying Hands steeple. So if you drive by there, you can see that. And maybe you've been to a picnic or an Easter egg hunt or something out there. We've tried to utilize that property because we don't have any green space at South Campus. So North Campus has really become our green space. And so you might have come out for an event or activity. That's our North Campus.
Yeah, right. And so we did end up purchasing that property. And we purchased it back. We made the offer, and it was accepted at the end of 19.
Mm-hmm.
And we were waiting there to get everything closed. And
What was the attitude of the church at that time?
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
We took a vote to purchase, and it was a very strong vote to purchase.
Yeah. It might have been 98 or 99. Yeah, I can't remember.
It was a really high percentage of the church, very excited. They were asking, I think, $650 for the property. We ended up getting it for $615,000. Mm-hmm. And that was very exciting because architects that we talked to told us that we had at least $2.5 million worth of building that's up out of the ground that's there already. Now, it needed a lot of work because there's all the deferred maintenance, but it was a really God thing that we were able to get that piece of property, those buildings, and so everybody was really, really excited.
Yeah, it was a blessing for us and for Olivet because there was no way that they had dwindled down in numbers. Right. There was no way they could maintain this facility, and so it was a blessing for them. They actually have moved to partner with another church, and they're sharing a facility last I heard. So that's a really positive thing where it's kind of a win-win for both churches.
Yeah, God just worked it out really to where it was really a double blessing. It was a blessing for them and a blessing for us. Mm-hmm. And so everyone was, you know, really excited about that. We were looking forward
to
2020.
I remember in January 2020, we, like many churches, we had the 2020 vision. Every church did, I think.
Yes, and I stood in the pulpit very proudly, I believe on January 5th of 2020.
In all of our hubris.
To share our 2020 vision, which ultimately, because of COVID, shows that we cannot see the future at all.
Well, before we jump into that, can you recap, what did that vision consist of? What was the overall arching plan?
Yeah, so the plan is really a two-phase plan that encompasses both our North and our South Campus. And the way that we alleviate the problems we were having, the parking problems, the space problems, is that we presented a plan to the church to where our first service, our traditional service, would kind of lead the way down to our new campus. Mm-hmm. And the plan is that after we do the necessary work at North Campus, the plan would be that we send first service up to North Campus to meet at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And then also our our life group classes that we have that do not need support from our children's ministry for their kids. Mm-hmm. So purely adult classes would move up to North Campus as well into newly renovated classrooms. Mm-hmm. And that would happen. So 8 o'clock would go up there. Then our 9:30 times Sunday school classes for adult life group classes would go up to North Campus, and that would help alleviate parking mm-hmm. issues at the 9:30 hour mm-hmm. because those cars would be up there right. instead of on South Campus. And those who go to 9:30 life group, if they go to our more modern worship, mm-hmm. then when they're done at 9:30, then they literally drive a minute up the road to go to worship. And that was the plan for us. That was part of the plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was one part of the plan.
So phase one required us to renovate some of the building, especially the education space, the foyer. We wanted to put in an elevator to be able to access the different floors. If you've never been over here, you come in on the foyer in a main floor, and then there's education wing that has an upstairs and a downstairs, but it's not on the main level.
Yeah, you can't access it. So we need to put an elevator in. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to do that and do necessary changes that we need to make.
Yeah, some cosmetic things on the outside to firm up the parking right. and you know, have a drive up and things like that to kind of get all of that where we could do the traditional worship and the life groups.
Right, but before we could do that, there was deferred maintenance mm-hmm. up here at North Campus that we had to do. So really, since this plan has been unfolded, we've done work on North Campus. We've mm-hmm. put brand new roofs on. We've put extensive HVAC systems in. We've invested a lot up here, but mm-hmm. we had to do that before we could do the renovation mm-hmm. to actually make the move. And so it's very exciting because we're getting much closer to that now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, by God's grace, we will be breaking ground up here to build the foyer mm-hmm. out, the elevator and all that, do the work up here, hopefully mm-hmm. into summer, first of fall coming.
So when you unveiled the vision 2020, the phase one was the immediate goal sort of in mind, right?
That's right.
But then as we looked out further, what was phase two consisting of?
Right. Well, before I go there, let me kind of finish phase one goals. Uh-huh. That was North Campus, what we were trying to get to. Then at South Campus, we needed to develop out a student ministry space, and we needed to develop out some dedicated children's ministry space as well. Now, the good news about all that, that's all been done. Mm-hmm. And so we are currently enjoying that new children's space, which has a security system in place now, which we thank God for. We have a great student ministry space that our students are using Sunday nights, Wednesdays, at other times. So that's all been accomplished of part of phase one. The North Campus part is getting ready to come online to get that done as well. Mm-hmm. That was all phase one. Mm-hmm. Now, phase two would be us when, as God blesses and as we grow, then the hope would be, phase two would be, we would come up to North Campus and we would build a worship center up mm-hmm. here that could accommodate bringing all of our services to North Campus on Sunday morning. We'd build a new children's ministry wing to take care of our children. And then South Campus, that would give us ability at South Campus to expand our ministry on South Campus because we would keep both campuses. Mm-hmm. And then a weekday ministry would really be happening at South Campus at that time, and we'd continue to have our Awanas up there. Mm-hmm. We'd have our student ministries up there through the week. But our daycare ministry, our child care ministry, would be able to expand, mm-hmm. and we could have a more of an impact on our community because mm-hmm. there's a great need for mm-hmm. child care ministry as well. So that would hopefully be part of the plans there.
And to try to rebuild all of that education space down here would be very expensive. Yeah. So we already have that. We can maintain that and keep that and keep continuing on in those ministries.
Yeah, and we'll just use it. Now phase two, when we build a new sanctuary up here, people say, well, when are you going to do that? Well, that depends on what God does in our church.
Right.
I've always said, as God moves, we move. We don't want to come up here and just build a bunch of things and then say, okay, God bless it. We believe that if we just do the basic things he's called us to do, that God will bring the increase. And so as that happens in his timing, we'll know when it's time to step into phase two. Mm-hmm. But currently, we still need to complete phase one to get to phase mm-hmm. two. And so we are, even now, people have been very faithful to give. But, you know, as we complete our three-year pledges, as we look into the future, mm-hmm. we need to bring the resources to bear that help us finish phase one mm-hmm. so we can get to phase two.
Yeah. So we're moving forward with the plan. We're very excited. We got vision 2020 vision, and we're getting ready to purchase the property. You're closing on the property. You got a closing date set for March, and then all of a sudden, the COVID-19 pandemic strikes.
That's exactly right.
So how did this affect the timing of everything?
Well, it definitely slowed the timing down, because as we closed on the property, we talked about it as leadership of our church. We felt God very much in what he had done. We knew that we needed to go close on this property. We'd already put an offer in. It had been accepted. And so we went and closed on it in the middle of COVID. And by faith, we signed those papers knowing that God was leading us and that he was going to guide us.
I think we were working from home, and I think you went to the office with maybe Mike or somebody, and y'all took care of all that. But I remember we were doing Zoom calls, and you were like, I'm going ready to go close on the property.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a very surreal moment to sit there and to sign those papers and to think about all that, not knowing what the future held now. But God was very faithful.
Yeah.
You know, we knew we needed to go do it, and we did, and he's just followed us through every step of the way. So leadership, about the time we signed papers, and we had been gearing up because we were going to enter into a kind of a spring capital campaign fund. But leadership very quickly figured out around in April of 20 that we knew we needed to pause because now was not the right time to go into a capital campaign. So we paused in the moment, and long story short, the church made it through 20 actually pretty well, and the church was very faithful. People gave to the church. Yeah. We ended up finishing 2020 really ahead of budget a little bit, because it just astounded me how faithful our people were to give. And I was so thankful for that. But we still were in a pause on the capital campaign fund because we were trying to make sure we had our legs up underneath us. And it was a good time for our people.
Well, this campaign, so you might hear the term capital campaign. Churches use this as an opportunity to challenge their members to raise funds, to give over and above their tithes and offerings, so that we can do God-sized vision type thing. So we called ours One Family, One Mission. That's what it was. We never changed the name, even though we paused in the spring of 2020, and then we paused. We thought we were going to enter back into it in the fall of 2020.
Right, because what happened was, we finished 2020 strong. We finished 3% ahead of budget, I believe. Very, very, very well. We entered into 2021. We were very hopeful that we were then going to enter into a capital campaign at that point. But as we made our way through that year, if you remember, there was a kind of a second pretty big outbreak that went on, and we were pretty affected.
It's around
by that.
The time of the election. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think that had anything to do with it.
Who knows? Who knows? I have no idea. But you know, I
have my theories.
Yeah, we don't know, but. Around October, I remember I was sharing in October, hey, we're getting ready to enter into a fall campaign. Very excited, One Family, One Mission. And then we were in some meetings, and as we looked at our budget, at the giving, as we looked at our, and when that second wave hit, our attendance took a really big hit. And during that time, our attendance and our giving was way, way down. I think the high attendance we had during that time, it was about 374 or something like that. Our giving was off. We were only meeting about 75% of budget, I think. And so once again, at that time, we decided this was not a time to roll into a capital giving campaign. So once again, we, November 2021, we paused again. Because we had to.
Yeah. And how did you feel about that at the time?
Well, listen, when you continue to delay what you feel God leading you to do, and you have to once again honestly communicate to your people, this is what we need to do, there's a real risk with that sometimes, to be quite honest. It could undermine your leadership. It could, you are tempted to maybe go forward when really you shouldn't. And you're tempted to take the matter in your own hands. And so we shared with our congregation exactly where we were, and our congregation has been so good at understanding and following leadership. And I'm sure that there were some people that were very excited that we paused. There were some people that maybe did not like that at all. But we did what we felt we needed to do, and so we paused. And, you know, there's a lot of unknown there. You don't know how that's going to work out. But you just have to do what you feel God leading you to do.
Yeah, I know I was discouraged at the time, but it did help me learn the lesson that it's in God's timing and it's not in my timing, because we were not in control of the the world and everything that was going on. And we weren't, you know, we couldn't make the church go forward in that, or it wouldn't have been wise to do that because of the place we were at. And so we had to really trust the Lord in that, had to go back to the Lord and say, okay, if this is your plan, if this is what you want us to do, we need to pause in this season to be able to go forward. And it was hard. I remember we had lots of talks and there were lots of prayers, and it was hard.
Yeah. And even to the point that as we paused, we saw that maybe we were going to have to pause the last part of October into November. Mm-hmm. And by God's grace, we finished the year 2020 strong, which allowed us to roll into 2021. We still had a conservative budget that we presented to the church. And by God's grace, we had a good year in 2021, a strong year. Attendance kept building back. Giving was strong, came back. So we were able to, in the fall of 2021, roll into our One Family, One Mission campaign. And we were able to see pledges being made by our people and to really take the step forward
there. Yeah. So as we unpaused, we went forward, what was the result of that campaign?
Yeah, so we presented three goals in that campaign. The first goal was a $750,000 goal. The next goal of it was 900 mm-hmm. some odd thousand.
I think that's right.
And then there was a third goal of $1.8 or $1.9 million. Mm-hmm. Well, we met our first goal. We raised about $750,000 in that campaign, and that would allow us to go forward and to do the work that we've experienced. We got mm-hmm. the student room done, the children's room, the security systems, and a lot of this work up here on North Campus of the roofs and the HVAC work and all of that. So that's allowed us to do a lot of that, which we're very thankful for. And the good news actually about what was pledged, we pledged right at $750,000 to be collected over 3 years. Now we're sitting in the last year of those pledges, and we're sitting here today. And this is a Thursday, and I was just in a meeting on Wednesday.
98%.
Yeah, our pledges have been collected 98%, and we still have between now and the end of the year. So we can project out some number over and above $750,000 mm-hmm. that we've collected that's going to help us hopefully into the new year raise some more finances to help us to complete the first phase of our project.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we're really thankful for that and excited to look into the future. So
it feels like the last 4 years have been this kind of season of waiting. Why do you think God took our church through this period of waiting?
Well, I think there's things that we learned as a church, and I think there's things that individuals have learned as well. So I can't speak for all individuals, but the things I've learned is something you don't want to. I've learned patience, and and you never want to pray for patience.
Sure,
but I do think it's helped me to be willing to be more patient to wait on God, mm-hmm. because we have paused and unpaused and paused again, and it is a reminder of God's sovereignty to me, and that He is ultimately in control, and I need to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned things like that. I've learned to trust God, and you trust Him just because of who He is, not because of your circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we can learn as a church and as individuals, that our trust is not in God because it all works out the way we think. Mm-hmm. But we trust God knowing that no matter how it works out and no matter what the timing is, He's still in control. He's sovereign over it all. Mm-hmm. And that is really a comfort to us, mm-hmm. if we'll run to that truth. So I've learned things like that.
Well, for those of us that like to control things or be a control freak, you know, and it's hard. It's a hard lesson to learn, but I think it's a right and good lesson to learn that we are not in control. God is in control.
Right. Yeah. And another really important thing I think I've learned, I was reading an article that was talking about when you're waiting, you need to actively wait.
Mm.
And I thought that was really good because we did a lot of active waiting.
Yeah.
Because what that means is there are still things to do while you're waiting. So periods of waiting doesn't mean you just sit down and don't do anything.
Right.
Like as we were waiting, we have still been doing all the things that God wants the local church to mm-hmm. do. So we've got to actively wait. And so just mm-hmm. if you're listening to this and in your own life, maybe you're in a season of waiting, you still need to actively wait.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things you still need to do as you're waiting for God to move.
In your sermon, you talked about a couple of those things. What are some things Christians should do when they find themselves in a season of waiting?
Well, I mean, it's some of the things, I think it's some of the things I just talked about. It's the willingness to trust God. Mm-hmm. Because I think this is one big temptation as I've dealt with people throughout the years. It's when God doesn't seem to be answering your prayer when you want it answered. There's a temptation to become bitter or angry or distrustful of God. And in the season of waiting, you need to see that as the opportunity to trust God and to really demonstrate what you say you believe. I believe that strongly. I mean, how do you know that you really believe what you believe? Well, it's when you live it out.
That's right.
When it's really hard and it's not easy. And so I think that's really important. Psalm 27:4 says this, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Mm. Wait for the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great verse, Psalm 27:4. It's one that we could run to and remember in those seasons of waiting.
Yeah. I was thinking about this, and as I've, you know, you've shared a little bit with me about your message on Sunday, and I thought about so many of the biblical examples of people waiting. You shared about the disciples waiting
for the coming of the Spirit.
Waiting for the Spirit. I thought about Abraham waiting 25 years to fulfill the promise of a son, for God to say, you're going to have an heir, you're going to have an offspring.
Right.
Had to wait 25 years for that. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years before they were allowed to enter the promised land. David had several years. He was anointed as a king as a very young man or a teenager. He had to wait a while to become king. And then, of course, we know Jesus waited 30 years to start his public ministry. Even Paul had to wait 10 years from the time of his conversion to the time he was commissioned as a missionary church planter. You know, God takes all believers through seasons of waiting. We're not just, you know, we're not just always being called to go out. Sometimes we're being called to wait, and in that time, to be prepared. I look at all these examples, and God used these seasons of waiting to prepare these people. And I really feel like in my own life, God does that in the life of our church. He's using this time to prepare our hearts, to prepare our church so that he can do wondrous and great things through us.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. And I think in all those examples you just listed is that all of those people ultimately had to trust the Lord.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, I talked about the importance of trust, which is connected to God's sovereignty, that you understand he's in control. And you know, all of these people were tempted, I'm sure, to put things in their control. We know Abraham did, for sure. And I'm sure Jesus waiting, he was not tempted, of course, to do that. But the other examples show us that we need to trust in God's plan and be okay with it. And on the back side of it, I think something that once you wait for God and then you see what he does, it sets you up to do something else. It sets you up to praise God.
Yeah.
And to really thank him for what he's done. And so I was reading an article on waiting and the preparation of my sermon that I preached on Sunday. There was a quote I found by Christopher Ashe, and he says this about praise and waiting. He says, "We praise not because the present is easy, but because the future is glorious." And that helps me to remember, even in my seasons of waiting as a church or as an individual, I'm waiting. It seems hard. It seems tough. It seems difficult. But because we know God through his son, Jesus Christ, we can trust him and know that no matter what we're waiting through, we can praise him because we know how glorious the future is going to be.
Amen.
You know, there's coming a day when there'll be no more waiting. There'll be no more worry or fear or tears or suffering or anything, because we will be in the very presence of our God. And so those realities of God being sovereign, that he has a plan, that we can trust him, and that we can walk through those seasons of waiting and still on the other side come out, even though maybe we didn't like all the waiting, we can praise him for it all because we know how it all ends up.
Yeah. So do you feel like the season of waiting for our church is coming to an end?
Well, I am so hesitant to say anything like that because I've been schooled so much since 2020 that I don't know the future.
Yeah.
But as far as I can discern as the pastor of Oak Hill Baptist Church, this is a season to where God's allowing us to continue to step forward into the plane he's given us.
Yeah.
And so I think there's exciting days ahead that we are going to see ground being broken up here with the new foyer and the elevator going in up here. There's other work that's going to be done inside, and maybe some of that work may be some work that we even could put some sweat equity into and kind of invest in doing some work up there to help our church even be to save more financially.
Well, I know the leadership has been praying about this, and everybody in our leadership, whether it be our elders, deacons, other people like that, they're excited to move forward. And we do feel like this is God's timing for us to move forward in this year as we draw this campaign to a close, to look forward and say, okay, God, what's next for us? What do you have for us to do next?
Yeah, it's the plan he's given us, but there's just more to do of that plan.
Right.
And so we're excited for that. If I can just share a personal note here, you know, I just came back from a meeting down at Southeastern Seminary. I happen to be a trustee down there. And I was reminded once again, just in a room full of other pastors talking about ministry and things, I heard even there, so really some stories of how some churches did not fare very well on the other side of COVID. And I think that can be lost on us, that we can take for granted God's goodness to us. God did not have to rebuild and kind of reestablish Oak Hill Baptist Church on the backside of COVID. Mm-hmm. But I think he did because our people and our pastors have a heart to just do those basic things that God asks us to do in his word. Mm-hmm. And as we have just walked in that, he has blessed it to where he's brought people to us. We've seen people come to faith in Christ. There are people being discipled. There are people growing in their faith. Our finances have come back. We are being supported faithfully by our membership. That is all God working on the hearts of his people and blessing us, and we never need to forget that. So because of all of that and what God's doing, yes, I do see that we are to go forward, and we're going forward together because none of us can do this on our own.
Right.
But when we come together, we can do something much greater than any of us could do on our own. And so it's so important to hang on to the Lord, that we walk in our relationship with him, and to each other as we're going forward together.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, is there anything else that you wanted to highlight before we sign off here?
No, I don't think so. I'm glad that we did this podcast, and I hope that people listen to it because you'll hear some things that maybe otherwise you wouldn't know.
Sure.
And you know, I think the more informed people can be, the better it is for the church family. Yeah. And so if you're listening to this and you think, hey, somebody else could benefit, man, encourage others to listen to it. And I hope this will help us. And then next week, we're going to look at we're looking at our recent past this past week, and this podcast is talking about that. Now we're going to, next podcast, next sermon, you're going to hear a sermon about our present and what God has done, what we can celebrate and thank him for.
Well, you mentioned, you know, we've not been idle in the season of waiting. We felt like we had to wait to go forward with the kind of big pieces of the plan, but we have been doing some things. So next week, we're going to talk about that. In the present, what have we been doing? How has God been continuing to bless our ministry and really put us in a place to where we know it's time to move forward. It's time to go forward together because we've been doing a lot to accomplish parts of phase one, and God's been blessing our church. You know, God's faithfulness is never in question.
Right, yeah. And as you hear this podcast, you don't need to hear two pastors from Oak Hill bragging about what they led the church to do.
Exactly.
What we are doing is trying to educate our church family and to remind people what God has done through his people.
And all of this is a testament to God's faithfulness. It's a testament to the faithfulness of the church, the people in the church.
Absolutely.
Because we can do podcasts and we can stand up and preach sermons and teach, but if people aren't there to do ministry, to go along with us, then we're nothing.
That's,
you know,
right.
We stand because everyone is there and we work together to move this ministry forward for the Lord.
Ministry is marked by people. Mm-hmm. Ministry is people. It's us coming together. It's us fulfilling roles as pastor. It's us equipping the saints for the ministry. It's us knitting our hearts together by living out all the one another's together. And it's about looking forward together to complete what God has for us today.
That's right. That's right. Man, that's good. I'm so excited. Excited about these messages and this podcast. We got two more of these special episodes, so I hope you'll join us over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.